Welcome to Arbor Bridge Church's weekly podcast with your teacher, Daryl Canty. Arbor Bridge Church exists to bridge the gospel and our community by connecting people to Jesus and each other. Visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.
Last time we were together, I asked the question, how do we measure a church? That will be at the end, if you're waiting for me to do that. Okay, thank you. Last time I asked us to consider the question, how do we measure a church? And often we measure the church by the ABCs, what we call the ABCs, attendance and buildings and cash. And we measure our lives like that. So when you get to the point where you're going out into the world, we measure our lives like that. Like, you know, how much money am I going to make, or how, you know, what kind of house can I get? And we measure our lives by things like that. But Christ has been working on me, and he wants us to begin measuring our church by different successes, by different ways. So recently I asked our church a question. I want to ask it again. I want to ask you to think about this. Is this: have you ever made a disciple? Those of you guys who are Jesus followers, maybe you've been a Jesus follower your whole life, I want you to answer this question to yourself. Have you ever made a disciple? And I want to define what I mean by that. Disciple. A disciple follows and obeys God for all the right reasons long after you're gone. So you invest, and then after you're gone, they still follow Jesus even when you're nowhere to be found. A disciple goes on to make more disciples. A disciple is growing in faith, hope, and love. When Jesus came to the planet, this is how he measured success. I want our church to begin to measure ourselves this way. So, have you ever made a disciple? For some of you, have you ever tried to make a disciple? Have you ever made a disciple who can make disciples? And I have to confess, I've not done a good job of making disciples in my life. I've been far more interested in, you know, measuring my success in other ways, the typical ways that people measure success. I want to repent of that, and I want to change, but the momentum in my life is all going in this direction of successes that won't matter in 50 years. I need your help to change course. So the book of Acts and the book of Matthew end and begin in a similar way. Matthew ends with what seems to be Jesus' final words of instruction for his followers. And Acts begins that way. I'm not sure if Matthew and Acts are talking about the same conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples, but I'm going to mash them up together today for our purposes. So after the resurrection, Jesus appears to a group of women, and they are blown away by seeing him. They were there. They saw Jesus die a gruesome death. And now here he is, risen from the dead. He tells them, he says, listen, go and tell my other disciples to meet me in Galilee. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. They went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some still had doubts. And I'm going to pause. And we've said this before, but I want to pause and just bring this up. Jesus, risen from the dead, standing in front of them, and some still have doubts. What that says to me is this. Sometimes we like to think, oh, if I was back then 2,000 years ago, then I'd be a better Christian. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Two is this. Jesus welcomed their worship even though they had doubts. So even if you come to our worship service today with doubts, you are welcome. All right, I gotta go on. While Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so you must go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything everything I've commanded you, and you can be sure that I am with you always to the very end. Think about, why would Jesus say that? Here he says, go out and make disciples. And he ends that little section of saying, he says, I'm going to be with you. Why would he tell them that? We'll talk about that in just a second. And then he says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? And that's a stupid question. Jesus just went up into the... What kind of question is that? He says, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So, in Jesus' final words, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say one word about attendance or buildings or cash. In his final words, he says, I'm leaving you now. I need you to follow me even after I'm gone. He says, I need you to be disciples who make disciples. And then he says, I need you to grow in faith, hope, and love. He never asks them, he never asks them anything about the kinds of success that we normally measure. He asks them to do things that require faith. He asks them to come to Galilee. To meet with him. So some of you guys know that after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples are hiding. They're in a house hiding, locked door, because they're afraid that what happened to Jesus is going to happen to them. And they're in that house. And the women come to the house and they say, hey, guess what? Jesus wants you to meet him in Galilee. Why doesn't Jesus just show up? Tell Jesus that we need him to just show up here in this house. He says, nope. Come meet me in Galilee. For them to leave that house is an act of faith. They are terrified. Jesus commands them to do things he knows would scare them. Teach people everything I've commanded you. That's why he says, I will be with you. And the angels add to that hope when they say, Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. They're giving them hope to look forward to. When Jesus tells them to teach people everything that he commanded him, they would have immediately thought of Jesus' greatest command. Anyone know Jesus' greatest command? Come on. Love one another. Courtney's favorite verse, love one another. And there's another part. Don't say it too loud. Come on. Love one another's part, but what's the other part? As I have loved you. Love God, love one another as I have loved you. Done. He says, if you grow in that, then you are a success. Then you've done it. Great job. That's his last words. And then boom, he goes up into the sky. You would remember that. And then you would say, whatever he just said, I better make sure I write that down and do that. After that, their lives, some of you guys know, after that, their disciples' lives are completely dedicated to making disciples. Completely, they have families, they have wives, they have kids, they have jobs, they have stuff, but their lives are completely dedicated to making disciples. Everything came back to that. So I want to create a church where disciple making is our culture. Like that, every person in our church family thinks, I got to make disciples. That all of us think that that's our job, that that's our role. So every church, you guys know this, every church has a culture that's built into what the church is. Usually it's kind of like an unspoken thing. So the good things that we already have as a part of our church, which we have a lot. Thank you for, I want to add making disciples. Making disciples who can make disciples who continue to grow in faith and hope and love long after you're done discipling them, after they move to Texas or move to Colorado or move far away, they still follow Jesus because of the investment that God's used you to make in their lives. I want to speak this truth to you. Most of us, most Christians, will go their entire lives and never make one disciple. Never. And I'm going to tell you something, and it's almost like I'm trying to give you advice, or like give you investment advice. Like if I knew for certain that there was some great investment that it was going to hit and it was going to work, that you'd want that information. And if you didn't buy into it 10 years from now, when we were all rich and you were saying, man, I wish I had invested in that, you'd be sad. There is a day coming very soon where you and I will regret if we spend our lives chasing successes that are not going to matter in a very short period of time. So, most of us are going to go our whole lives and never make one disciple. And when you see Jesus, you will be sad. You will regret that. Research by an organization called the Barna Group reports that only 1/3 of Christians say they make disciples. And that number would go even lower if we only counted disciples who can make disciples. Jesus measured the success of his disciple making by the ability of his followers to go on and teach others to obey everything he commanded. So that is what I want us to do, to have a culture, to build a culture where all of us, every one of us, this is our thought processes. This is what we think. We are Jesus followers. And a part of that is we are disciple makers. We are disciple makers who make disciples. When I bring that up, typically it terrifies me. It terrifies me. Barna research also shows that the top reasons why people say they don't make disciples is they don't feel equipped, and no one's ever asked them. So let me fix one of those right now. I'm asking you to help me build a culture of disciple makers. The equipped part. Let's take care of that. Let's take care of that. So Rex and I, we attended a discipleship conference this spring. We learned some things about disciple making, making disciples that are when we was the kind of things that you hear and you're like, oh yeah, we should be doing that, or oh yeah, that's why it doesn't work. When we learned some things about disciple making that we want to bring to you. So we're going to be getting some more training throughout this year, and our hope is at the beginning of 2025 we'll be able to start some disciple making groups where we're learning together how to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So during the conference we're exposed to a bunch of different ways of making disciples, and so we're going to be working on he and I agreeing on which one would fit our church best, and then we'll work on to being, you know, being discipled that way. So let me pause and just say this. D.L. Moody is a preacher from back in the day. One of the things that he said, and the story he shared, is this idea that someone came up to him and they said, "I don't like your evangelism strategies." And D.L. Moody says, "I don't like them either." He says, "What are your strategies? Tell me yours. Maybe I can use yours." And the person said, "I don't have any." So D.L. Moody said, "Well, I like my strategies better than your non-strategies." Now, most certainly, whatever idea that Rex and I picked, some of you are going to be like, "I don't really like that." That's fine if you search out and have something else and do something else. Don't sit back and be like, "I don't like the way that Daryl and Rex are doing. I'm not doing anything." When Jesus was talking about coming back after his resurrection, he says this: the Son of Man, listen to this. This is just what we're just talking about. The Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory. His angels will come with him, and he will reward everyone in keeping with what they have done. Isn't that terrible? And we need to talk just about this super quick. In Christian world, we're really clear about grace. You don't get to go to heaven because you've been good or you've done a lot of nice things or anything like that. You get to go to heaven because God's good. Done. But there will be rewards. Jesus says, "When I come, I'm going to reward you based on what you've done." And so in that moment, on that day, do you want to say, "You know what, Jesus, I really didn't make any disciples"? He said, "That's the last thing I told you to do." Would you pray
Would you pray that Rex and I will choose the right disciple-making method for our church? And then would you pray and ask God to help you be willing to learn to make disciples who can make disciples? And just saying that out loud, certainly, some of you, if you're like me, you are terrified about what that's going to mean. Would you pray that Rex and I will choose the right disciple-making method for our church? And would you pray and ask God to help you be willing to learn to make disciples who can make disciples? That's a future that we can be preparing for, we can begin getting ready for now. I want to share a couple things about the rest of 2024 to you for our church. I want to bring up a few other things. So first, we're gonna host Second Sunday picnics throughout the summer, July and August. The picnics will be after our worship service at County Farm Park. I've been sharing that with you guys. Maybe a good step for you towards making disciples is just praying if there's someone that you could invite to the picnics. Sunday, July 14th is our next one. Start praying. On Saturday, July 13th, some of us are going to be participating in a prison ministry called One Day with God, where we're going to be helping inmates who spend a day with their children. Thanks to those of you guys who've said you're willing to be a part of that. We'll come back and share a little bit about that with you guys. This fall, our MomCon group, our MomCo group is going to be starting up again. MomCo, let me read you their vision statement or their mission statement. MomCo encourages and equips moms of young children to realize their potential as mothers, women, and leaders in relationship with Jesus and in partnership with the local church. Our MomCo group meets on the first and third Thursdays. If that's you, we'd love for you to be a part of that. 10 a.m. to noon on those Thursdays, childcare is provided. This fall, I'm going to be doing a series on mental health. Our church family has a lot of interest in this area, so we're going to talk. We're going to walk through to get this together beginning in September. My friend, Matt Waddell, who is a therapist, he's helping me work through this so I don't say anything bad. If I do say something bad, it's Matt's fault. We're going to be hosting some small groups again in the fall. They may overlap a little bit with this mental health series, so you'll have a chance to debrief some of you with some of what you thought is helpful. So the missionary we support, Keith Gaffner, he's going to be here in October. Keith has been a missionary nearly his whole adult life in Kenya. Him and his wife, Grace, are going to be here in October, so I'll talk about more of that in just a moment. We're going to do our Thanksgiving project the Sunday before Thanksgiving, November 24th. In place of our regular worship service, one of the things that we do is we spend the day serving folks in our community who could use a hand with groceries for their Thanksgiving dinner. We're gonna do that. I'll talk about more about that in just a second. But in addition to those things, I want to help you accomplish what you're dreaming about accomplishing for Christ. If you're dreaming about, we have ideas, this is our list of ideas that we want to do together, but like maybe you have an idea of what you think. Here's something that I want to accomplish for Christ. One of the things we've asked our church family to do is download the app that we've been using called Church Center. A part of that, there's a survey that we've asked you to participate in. Several of you have. One of the questions that we asked was, what needs in the world do you feel most passionate about? Those of you guys who filled that out gave us incredible answers, amazing things that overlap with each other, which is really great. The answers can be summarized basically by Jesus' command to care for the least of these, to care for the people in the world that our culture measures as the least. That's great. So, you know, creating community for lonely people, getting food for people who are hungry, giving value to people who are overlooked, those are the kinds of things that you guys said out loud. If you have a dream for how you can give your life away loving people like that, then maybe we could do it together. So this is how MomCo began. Penny Sanders had a dream for how she could give her life away, serving moms and children, and she pushed to see it happen. So now MomCo happens. Something that Michael Boyd talked to me when he was an elder of one of our church. He brought up this idea that we shouldn't just be thinking about how we as leaders want to serve God's kingdom. We should be asking you, how do you want to serve God's kingdom?
If you have a dream for how you can give your life away doing this, then talk with Rex or I. Pray about it. Talk with Rex or I. If you're willing to be the driving force to see that happen, we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of it. So I want to finish like this. Let me finish like this. I need to talk a little bit about the ABCs. I want to move our church away from using attendance and buildings and cash as our only way to measure success. That being said, we have to give some attention to these tools. They are tools. So that we can make disciples. So let me first say a few words about money. So our church gets money in several different ways, rentals and special collections and football parking. But the most important way that we get money is when you give it. And it's not the most important because that's where most of our income comes from, because that's not true. It's most important because it has a key part in you growing in faith, hope, and love. It's an act of faith when you say, I'm going to give this money away. It's putting your hope in something that's far. You say, this is something that's not here. I'm putting my hope in Christ and getting reward from him. And it's an act of love. And again, so we give not because I put pressure on you or we need to pay the bills or those things are true, but we give because God commanded us to do it. We give that. So listen to this verse. It says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. When Jesus comes to give out rewards, you want to give now, like a little bit and that. That's cool. That's what your reward will be. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So let me pause and just say this. What this is implying is that you pause and you think in your heart, pray, what should I give? Often, sometimes when I give, you know, I'm driving down the street and I see a guy who he's panhandling, and I feel bad. And I'm like, okay, I didn't think about that. I didn't talk about that with the God. This is an invitation to say, pause, pray, seek the Lord, decide in your heart what you should give. So I want to invite you to do that. Our giving goal each week is $2,180. We are currently averaging about $1,977 a week. So thank you for being generous. Those of you guys who helped make that happen, thank you for that. Let me ask you to do this. If you haven't yet, pray and ask God what he would have you give to our church family for the rest of the year, each week. Let me say a quick word about our special collections, or what we call big gives at our church. A few times during the year, we have a day where we do a special collection for a specific thing that our church wants to do. This is money that's above and beyond what we give that goes to our weekly goal. Our bookkeeper, Amy, told me that sometimes when we have big gives, people take the money that they would normally give each week, and then they just put it towards the big give. That's not what we're trying to do here. The big give is above and beyond. It is above and beyond what you normally give. That's sort of like when I first got married, my wife's birthday is close to Valentine's Day, and so I thought, why don't we just mash those up? You can see how that went. The big give is a special opportunity separate from. What we're asking for you to do is consider where you could sacrifice in order to be able to go above and beyond in our big give. So our first big give is September 1st. It will be for our missionary we support, Keith Gaffner. He'll be here in October, so I'd love to give him a check for $2,400. That's our giving goal for him. If we can go beyond that, awesome. A radical idea that we've done in the past is for you to consider, I'll talk about this again, is a week before the big give date, September 1st, what if we were committed to not buying groceries that week? What if we were committed to just, you eat whatever you have at home already? If you're like me, I've got a ton of food at home that I don't like that. I don't want to eat that. I'm going out to eat. What if we said, I'm just going to eat whatever I have at home? Or if you don't have food at home, what if you said, this week I'm just eating beans and rice? Some of you guys know that throughout the world, most people survive on beans and rice. And then we took all that grocery money that we would normally have spent and give it to Keith. something to think about. Our second big give is Sunday, November 3rd, only 2 months after our first date. Think about that. It will be for our Thanksgiving project, which we do each year, where we give away 100 Thanksgiving meals for folks in our community. Our giving goal for that date will be $5,200. I would suggest doing the same thing that week before. The week before that giving date with our groceries and our eating habits. So I'll certainly say more about that. Rex has a handout that you can have or you can get where you can see all the things I'm talking about. You can see the numbers for our church family if you'd like to look at those and follow up with Rex or I. We're totally open to that. So another way that our church family pays for us to continue having the privilege of serving Christ and making disciples here in Ann Arbor is football parking. So because we are so blessed to live close to or have our building close to the stadium, we charge fans to park their cars here for football games. So a little less than 14% of our church income comes from football parking. So that's an important part of our income. So if you're part of our church family, let me ask you to do this. The games are all in the fall. I need you to pick a Saturday that you will come and volunteer to help us with this parking cars. And again, if you're part of our church family, I want you to do this each fall. Every fall that it comes to, every fall, I want you to say, oh, I need to sign up for at least one Saturday of football parking. Plan ahead so it doesn't, you don't feel like you get stuck or you're just a burden. But when you don't do this, it's something like being the guy in your family who doesn't wash dishes. Or living with somebody who doesn't wash dishes. Like, you're the guy who's like, somebody else will take care of this, and you. We've all lived with that guy. It's very painful. So I want to ask you to do this. On the handout, there's Saturdays. Pick a Saturday. One of the unfortunate things about football season is they don't always tell you the times of the football games until it's closer, so I apologize for that. We won't keep you here for more than 3.5 hours. We spread it out. It's an easy role. It's an easy job. It's certainly easy when we all take a role in it. So at the beginning of August, I'm going to come here with a poster board, and I'm going to say, hey, here are all the Saturdays. It'll be online also, but I'm going to come here with a poster board, and I'd love for you to be thinking about which Saturday your family can sign up for. And so, again, I know that there are some of you with younger children it's a hassle. So I would ask you to do this. Divide and conquer on one of those days. One of you stay home and take the kids, or one of you come, or some people bring their kids, So love for you to think about how you can help our church family that way. I have one more thing I need to bring up to you regarding our church insurance, but I'm going to save it for next week so I don't have to rush through it. So let me ask you to do this. Take the handout. Think and read and know kind of where we're at. Pray about what you should give. Pray about how you can invest. Pray about your dreams for reaching people for Christ. Pray about your willingness to make disciples. Next week I'm going to be beginning a series on Proverbs. And one of the things I'd like you to do is this. For the month of July, read a chapter of Proverbs each day during the month of July. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. The book of July has 31 days. So would you read a chapter a day beginning tomorrow, Monday, June 1st? And if you miss a day, just pick up on whatever date in July it is. So if it's July 5th, then read the 5th book of Proverbs. I'd love for you to reread it along with us as we go through that. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for being here. Thanks for celebrating Courtney. One of the things that Tiara did is she left up Courtney's pictures and stuff from her graduation party, which was here yesterday, all along the fellowship hall, the back wall there. So you can participate and see how awesome she is. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for their patience with me and all my weakness. I thank you for the things that make our church unique, the culture that you've built into us, diversity that you've built into us. I pray that you'd help us to not measure our church
solely by the ABCs, but we would measure our church by the faith, hope, and love. Put on our hearts the way that you want us to invest and participate in this church family and in your kingdom. I pray that we wouldn't be concerned or be on the edge of our seats about growing this church necessarily, but we would be concerned about making disciples who can make disciples. And if those people, if we make a disciple and that person goes to 242 or Grace, or we say, woo, yes, we would be most concerned about the day that is coming soon where we're going to stand in front of you and you're going to reward us based on what we did here. We look forward to that day because we are going to live lives of completely sold out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.